Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast, brought to you by Flowpath. I'm your host, Griffin Hamilton. This is the show where I interview industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights into modern-day facilities management. From hospitality to commercial real estate and everything in between, we'll learn what it really takes to succeed as a facilities manager. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Today's guest is Matt Aston. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Griffin?
I am doing well, doing well. Well, for the audience out there listening, Matt is the president of GPRS. And so before I go into the details of the conversation here, I want to throw it over to you real quick if you want to provide a little context on what it is you guys do and how you got in the industry of facilities management.
Yeah, so I went to school for finance and was working as a financial analyst for a large company, a big Fortune 500 company, and talked to my dad about going into business with him. He owns a concrete cutting business, and he suggested that I really do something on my own. So he gave me a magazine. In that magazine, there was an advertisement for ground penetrating radar, and yeah, I helped on his jobs enough in college that I knew that there were some issues when it came to saw cutting. You know, namely, the cutter couldn't see below the surface to see what they might be cutting into. And one of the applications that this advertisement in this magazine identified was finding electrical conduits that are embedded within or below a concrete slab. So that was really the application that drove me into starting GPRS, kind of singularly minded around that one thing. And as I gained more experience with the equipment, I realized, hey, there's a few other things that we could really help out the industry with here. Namely, on the concrete side, still determining the exact placement of reinforcing steel within a concrete slab. So let's say it's a post-tension system, and you've got to drill holes for plumbing or electric or communications. We can't cut through the post-tension cables, so we can use our equipment to precisely lay out the exact placement of reinforcing steel within a concrete deck, map it onto the surface so when the drilling takes place, they can drill without cutting any of the steel within the slab.
So taking a step back, and I just want to make sure I have a clear understanding of this. So you go to your father asking for potentially a job or advice there, throws you a magazine, says, good luck, go start something on your own. Did I hear that right?
So it was a trade publication. The magazine was called Concrete Openings, and its target circulation was concrete cutting companies. So this was some new tech now. And he did have the page folded on this advertisement. So
he at least was pushing the right direction.
I think he was kind of saying, "Hey, you should take a look at this." And so I didn't have background in ground penetrating radar. I really didn't know what I was doing. I was pretty green. Went out to training in New Hampshire. When I was there, they told me about the manufacturer, told me about this other antenna that they have that can look deeper into the ground. We wound up buying that, and that's turned into the biggest segment of our business now. So we use a lower frequency antenna that can look into the ground, and we can find utilities. We can find underground storage tanks. So that's another application. Then over the last few years, we've expanded into a few other services. Video pipe inspection, running a camera through a sewer to do a condition assessment or to see if directional drilling has crossbored through the sewer pipe. Leak detection services for water, and then laser scanning as well. So 3D laser scanning, modeling, using point clouds for above surface features. As well.
So we'll certainly get into those topics, but I want to start out really quickly on going over just into
the concept of using radar and the problems you address of just not really knowing what you're about to be cutting into. I mean, obviously that's a big problem. Knowledge is power. You want to make sure you know exactly what you're about to be doing. How precise is that technology?
So GPRS does roughly 12,000 jobs a month across the United States. We have just under 500 people out in the field doing this. And we've got a presence from Boston to Honolulu, Seattle to Miami, everywhere in between. On 12,000 jobs a month, we usually have maybe 6 or 8 where there's a reported incident where, hey, for whatever reason, you guys missed this. And so extremely high accuracy. I would say in terms of absolute precision, if you have a rebar grid or post-tension cables, and let's say you've got 8 inches center-to-center spacing of the steel that's embedded within a concrete slab, we could probably have, depending on the size of the bar, I think, but if you have, let's say, a half-inch or three-quarter diameter bar, I think we could probably drill a 6-inch hole without touching any steel. So I would say we're within a quarter of the inch to wow. center on placement. In terms of depth for utilities, it's generally plus or minus 10%. There's a little bit of lateral tolerance as well, but it is highly, highly accurate.
So going back into when you first started and you saw the different problems this resolved, and just perhaps to this day, what are some other techniques or technologies maybe that people use outside of radar that can lead to these types of problems?
I don't want to say that we've displaced concrete X-ray. There's still applications where X-ray makes a lot of sense, but it does, one of the issues, the biggest issue I would say with X-ray, besides the time that it takes, there's a radiation hazard that's associated with it. Mm-hmm. So if you think about an occupied building or an active construction site, if you want to take X-ray film of a concrete slab, you've got to clear about a 50-foot sphere around where the radiation is being used to get those exposures. So there's no radiation hazards associated with our equipment. 811 is still an extremely valuable service. It's law in every state across the country that you call before you dig. And we don't displace 811 at all. I would say we enhance 811 services. So there are limitations that are associated with 811, and the only limitations that are really associated with our services as far as where we go is the customer scope of work. I mean, we'll go anywhere the customer asks us to go.
And that was going to be my question as far as that gap, right, where it seems as though step one would be 811, and then if it is, again, depending on the complexity of the problem, where it is to the point where it won't help them to the extent that GPRS would, I guess what does that look like and the differences where 811 it could help and where your professional services could come into play?
Well, let's start with cost, right? 811 is a free service. I mean,
right.
They're going to come out and they're going to mark out. Generally, they're going to mark out the right of way, the areas that are in the public interest. But when you go on to private property, 811 won't always go. They won't extend their services beyond so far outside of that easement. I think it varies a little bit by utility and by state, but we'll go. Obviously we do charge a fee for our services.
Sure. Yep.
But we will go. And we use multiple technologies. Actually, I would say video pipe inspection is extremely helpful in helping us to locate some sewers that we may not be able to find with ground penetrating radar. So we can put a sonde on the end of that camera, and it will transmit a signal to the surface to help us find the path of that sewer if it's too deep for us to see with radar. There are limitations that are associated with radar that we can't necessarily overcome. It's the physics behind the technology that soil composition. If there's a lot of moisture in the ground that absorbs the signal closer to the surface, things like that.
Got it. And you mentioned video pipe inspection. When did you guys add that service and add those different technologies to your portfolio?
So in 2019, we acquired a company and they had one system. And it was in Los Angeles. That's our biggest market in the country. So we thought, this is a good proving ground to see if we can do this in other areas. Well, later that year, we acquired another company in Philadelphia, and they had a few of these systems. And so it kind of hit us, like, hey, have we been missing something here? The last two acquisitions we've had, they've both been providing video pipe inspection services. Yeah, there's clearly a market for this. There's clearly some value that's being provided to their customer base. So, you know, let's do this. And now we've got 33 or 35 systems across the U.S., almost every major city. Excuse me.
And on that, you mentioned the value that you discovered. What is that value? I mean, what is some of maybe the not so obvious value adds that you now offer that you didn't without video pipe inspections?
I think it's really the industry as a whole, where we've seen a shift over the last 22 years since I started the company, where a while ago, even going back maybe 10 or 12 years, a lot of the calls that we received came in after the utility was struck. Hey, we just hit a gas line. We just hit an electric line. Yeah, before we cut anything else, we need you to come out and check the rest of our excavation. Now, our customer base has shifted where they're more proactive in nature. Hey, we're going to excavate next week. We'd like you to come out here in advance of our excavation so we don't hit anything. Well, I think the same thing applies on video pipe inspection, where we've got this aging infrastructure system across the country, and instead of waiting for a collapse or waiting for a problem within a sewer system, we're doing proactive inspections in advance of the problem taking place. So, hey, maybe we can catch the problem before it really gets out of hand. One of the leading causes for these issues within sewers is crossbores, where we've seen a rise in directional drilling over the last 10 or 15 years. Well, sometimes they have no idea, but as they're horizontally boring through the subsurface, they can sometimes drill directly through a storm sewer or a sanitary sewer, and there's no way for the driller to tell. But when we run these cameras through, we can see, and we're shocked how often. We just did a job here in Ohio where we saw two borings that were 6 feet apart in the same crossbore is going through the same sewer pipe. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, real quick. This is Alex Cummings, CEO of Flowpath, an industry-leading CMMS designed and built by operators to fit the scale of any organization. I'm excited to share with you that Flowpath now offers a tier for teams that just need core CMMS functionality on simple monthly contracts and at a price that makes sense. We call it Flowpath Core, and it runs on the same powerful Flowpath software that thousands of professionals rely on every day. So come check us out at getflowpath.com and see just how easy it is to get started with a software designed to fit your needs. Oh, and mention this ad and you'll get 10% off your core subscription. Okay, enough from me, back to the show.
And you mentioned that people are starting to be more proactive now, and that is really a theme in the industry, the emphasis on preventative maintenance and proactively buying inventory, so on and so forth. But in this scenario, do you find that it's typically an upcoming project that leads to people that go through that video pipe inspection, or are there certain increments, time increments that you recommend people doing these pipe inspections?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the decision maker. So if you've got a more, I would say, progressive in terms of adaptation of technology, someone who's more forward thinking and instead of reactive, they're going to jump ahead and try to prevent problems instead of reacting to them. So it's hard to paint the whole industry with one brush.
Right.
But we are seeing greater adoption of this, and as that, as more people become aware of the capabilities of video pipe inspection, I think we'll see a continued adoption curve, with more and more people choosing to find problems before they get out of hand, and instead of reacting to them and having to repair sinkholes and reroute pipes, and it will be proven to be a more valuable process to go through the inspection than go through the repair.
Oh yeah, and I guess on that note, are there things that or tasks that people could do maybe more frequently than an entire inspection to reduce the chances of something catastrophic actually happening?
Yeah, we talk with think of retailers with a national footprint. I'm not gonna name names on the show, but
sure,
about putting a maintenance plan in place where maybe every 7 years. So if we have 15% of their stores on an annual basis, where we'll run an inspection on 15% of the stores, and we just have this kind of rotating schedule where each year we've got the next 15%, and then we start the process over every 7 years or so. So, I mean, this is not something that needs to be done annually, or I would say in most cases it does not. There are probably a few where, depending on what the environment is that you're in, but I would say in most cases, I think every 5 to 7, maybe even every 10 years, is a good process to do an inspection. It's generally, I would say, it's less than $3,000 or $4,000, and it just helps to avoid some of these issues that aren't budgeted for, they're unforeseen, and then they infuse chaos into the facility or into the campus when they do take place, and no one was expecting it.
Right. Now, and that $3,000 or $4,000 is a drop in the bucket when you take in consideration, yes, an emergency and repairing that, but then the secondary effects of said emergencies. And,
yes,
and those are things that it's hard to map that out, and it's hard to really compare and contrast or have an apples to apples comparison, because you can't always quantify what those secondary impacts are going to be.
Now, I think for any facility manager, unplanned downtime is, or maybe like those are the scariest words they can.
Right.
We had no idea. I mean, it's scary to if we look back over the, I don't know how many jobs we've done, a couple hundred thousand. We've heard that over and over. We just never saw this coming. I mean, I'd say that's the one theme that we see across our customer base, across the sites that we work on. We go and sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a week to different sites. We have a few campuses where we have people embedded. Yeah, they're just permanently at that location. And the one thing we see in common is, with very few exceptions, there are few campuses, few facilities, where they have a true, accurate representation of what their underground infrastructure looks like.
And again, it's all about knowledge, right? Just knowing and doing what you can to prepare and prevent any of those catastrophic events from happening in the first place. I think that's the ideal scenario that's playing out, is at least having the knowledge to prevent it.
So we're trying to take a step forward in this, in that we're building a software program right now called SiteMap, where we can go onto these campuses or facilities, plants, and do a full scan of everything. And then the customer can subscribe to our data. So instead of having these stacks of 24 by 36 prints with electrical on one and gas on another, communications, water, sewer, we consolidate it all down into one point of truth, really. And they can log in and see everything that we've ever done on our site. On their site, if they just want to see electric, they can click and shut off all other utilities, just see their electric network. If they want to see water, if they want to see everything together, they can do that. But through the software that we're building, it should be, our first phase of development should be complete in February. And we are excited about what this is going to do for facilities across the country that really want to consolidate their data and have access to all accurate, you know, utility data at their fingertips.
Yeah, and that's a good segue here. Looking ahead, I mean, we've talked about some really cool technologies that you've leveraged for several years and kind of changes that you've seen. But looking ahead now, what changes in technology do you foresee having the biggest impact on the field?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this site map, we're betting big on this site map. And, you know, what we see being able to develop over the years, I mean, I talked about the full campus mapping. And so I think in the future, you know, imagine if you're a large university facilities manager and you've got our data, you're a subscriber, you're on our platform. Yeah, the future stages of this development, you know, our vision is you'll be able to pull up our app, and through the use of augmented reality, you'll be able to hover your phone over the ground and see our marks. So you can say, okay, Matt Aston marked this gas line for me on December 18th, 2023. It's 32 inches deep, and I can hold my phone and walk the line from, you know, wherever it originates to wherever it terminates. Its exact path, changes in depth. Yeah, you can do that for entire underground infrastructure networks on campuses across the country, whether it be hospital, university, manufacturing, entertainment venues. I mean, we see these problems at these types of facilities, these types of campuses, all across the country.
Yeah, and just that quick visibility. I can't imagine how much time that's going to save and the value that's going to be there. Just, again, that knowledge and just having that at your fingertips. And that's where I get excited with just the industry and facilities management in general, is just how quickly technology is changing the way we operate and the antiquated processes that we've had in place for sometimes decades that can now be automated. And, you know, that time saving is just tremendous. And again, I get pretty excited about that.
Yeah, our view there was, hey, if you go back 6 or 7 years, you know, we didn't think we were going to be doing, I mean, we're at Christmas. And this year, I never went inside of a store. All my Christmas shopping's done. I never went inside of a store.
Right.
And, yeah, we didn't have this idea about 24-hour, you know, delivery of goods that we'd order. So our thought was to kind of, hey, you know, what would Amazon do if they were GPRS? Well, they'd be thinking about what our customers are going to want in 2030 or 2035. So let's develop that now. Let's develop that in 2022 or 2023 and have it ready, so when the industry does shift where that's the expectation, you know, we're out in front and we've got that. That was kind of our idea behind Sitemap and why we are investing heavily in it today.
Yeah, no, and that'll be interesting in Q1 release. So we'll definitely have to follow up and see what the market feedback has been and the impacts that has, because I'm sure there's going to be several case studies coming out here in the coming months. Well, Matt, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I have one last question I ask everybody, and that is, who or what has had the biggest impact on you and your career? And I've got a hunch on where this is going, but
yeah. So I've got a few. My dad, you know, first of all, a huge mentor. I'm blessed. He gave me the idea for this. And then, yeah, I've had a few, you know, mentors, you know, beyond that. I've got a good friend named Tom Ziegenfuss who came onto our board, and he's the chairman of EN Engineering. They're now Entrust Solutions Group. But he helped me as the GPRS grew. We're about 800 employees today. And I met him in 2017. And he helped me to plan for and see obstacles that I never would have seen, you know, coming on my own. And then the third is a close friend of mine. His name is Mark McGinnis, 24-year Navy SEAL. And I met him in 2017. And he just helped me to realize that I'm capable of so much more than what I ever thought. Yeah, I mean, so you think about the Navy SEALs, and I view them as the most elite fighting force in the world. and you know, what they have to go through just to get their Trident and get through their BUDS program. It's like a 90% failure rate. And so having spent some time with Mark over the last 6 years or so, he has helped me and others on our team to realize our capability is so much higher than what we would give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, I love that. And I've read a couple of books with David Goggins in there, and that guy is on the next level. And
he's realized that he's capable of more than what he thought when he was 20 years old.
Yeah. Right. And I believe that to be true. I mean, he's taking it to a level that I don't think I could comprehend as a mere mortal. But, that is great. And it's really cool to hear people's answers to that question and just how they got to where they're at and just how your perspective can change with the right people in your life. And so very cool to hear. But once again, Matt, thanks for coming on the show here today. And for those listening, I'm certainly going to have some content in the show notes for folks to find you and GPRS. And if anyone has any questions, I'm sure they'll have plenty after the content today, but I'll have your contact info there. But once again, Matt, thank you so much for coming on and talking shop.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity and really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for having me on.
Of course, Matt. Well, to everyone listening, until next time, be good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Make sure to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on LinkedIn for more facilities management content.